What's going on, everybody? This is James Grandmaster Facts Voice, and you're here for another episode of Facts Project. Today, very special guest, the honorary Tony Cottrell, Advent Comics, here on the board. Thank you for being here, my man.
Yeah, you make me blessed. Facts, how you doing, brother? Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show, man. I'm a fan of your show, and I love what you're doing, and I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be on the show. Take a little bit of time out and talk to you.
Look, man, and all the same, because as somebody who is, of course, highly familiar with your work, whether it's the shirt that you're wearing right now with Cosmos.
Oh, you know about Cosmos?
Okay. Yeah. Don't let me pull it down. Hold on now.
My man.
Come on now.
Oh, my man. Thank you. Yeah, volume one. Volume two is out now.
So
working on it.
Whether it's that or, you know, the work with Travis Hill lately, with Thorne. You know, yeah. Like I've always looked at somebody like yourself who's been in the publishing game for a very long time, had the opportunity to think outside the box, and even has had the opportunity to collaborate with some people and be like, I wonder what that person would do with this character. You then pull up the ultimate wild card and was like, okay, why don't I just like bring everybody in?
Yeah.
So first, before we even get into that, I would like for you just to tell everybody about the history of Advent Comics.
Advent Comics, we started back in 2009, celebrating our 15th anniversary this year in August. 2024 makes 15 years, August 1st. So we got all kinds of stuff, a star-studded year going on, bro. So it's a whirlwind right now. We have projects dropping all through the year. We got our first action figure coming out, factory produced action figure coming out. That's part of why I haven't been on social media a lot, because I've been working on that. And another project, big project called Epiphany Engine, which is a graphic novel starring pretty much all your favorite publishers all in one piece.
Yeah.
So like 40 black comic publishers and black superheroes in a 192 page graphic novel that has never been done before. So we coming with some heat. We coming with some heat this year, and I'm working on my own 15th anniversary book that's going to go ready, hopefully, still by August 1st of this year to celebrate.
Yeah, I figured something like that was coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
So for somebody who has been a part of the black indie scene for this long, and has had the opportunity to see everything from the outside looking in, 2009 to now, you've seen people come and go, and you've also seen people stick around and do some very glorious things.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the realm, it's 2024, and you've seen exactly like the landscape of black indie comics for what they are right now. What do you see so different from 2009?
Oh, we thrive. Oh, we are thriving. It's so much more. Back in 2009, there were a few of us here and there, but we weren't making much traction. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. We had our own little pockets here and there. But now we are thriving within our community and outside of our communities. I mean, you got companies like Godhood. You got companies like Concrete, Impound, Elevated Comics, my man, Taz. I mean, we are doing so many big things, and it's all over the place. And to see, I'm a big comic book fan at heart. So I follow all these guys. I'm a fan first. And to see them doing such beautiful things, man, I love it, man. I truly love it. But yeah, the black comic indie scene and indie comics in general are really thriving right now. We are the engine that's pushing this thing along. I no disrespect to Marvel and DC and the big boys, but indie comics are pushing it along.
Yeah, because I mean, let's be real. If we just look at Kickstarter numbers, as far as comics are concerned, the numbers go up by the millions every single year.
Yes.
But when we're talking about black indie comics, I'm going to say that there was a big push, a renaissance that started to happen around 2018 to 2020, especially when we got behind doors with COVID. I mean, sad to say, it took for a lot of us to get in our houses and actually talk to each other on a regular basis, for a lot of us to basically just like have these conversations about world building, and companies started to basically collaborate with one another. Mm-hmm. And then you just saw like all these stories just start to flourish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And it's taken off, and the spirit of collaboration is only growing. And that's a good thing, because there is, and what I like to tell people is, okay, competition is good. Okay, I get it. I understand it. But collaboration is so much more, because there's so much out here for all of us to, for all of us to shine, all of us to profit and have our companies visible and viable. There's no need for the competition. If we come together and we collaborate, we can kick down so many more doors. And I'm just thankful that a lot of other people saw the vision and they're working towards it as well.
Yeah, because I mean, that act of collaboration just showed up in the truest form, in the form of your book.
it's still in process, but yes, we got that epiphany coming, and actually before that, the Cosmos project was the precursor to that for me, because with Cosmos we're doing a big crossover story, but it was open to everyone, and there's over 100 independent comic book companies and publishers and creators participating, all big boys, people you probably never heard of, and everyone in between. So that was like the proving ground for what Epiphany Engine is. Epiphany Engine is just for the culture. I mean, everyone is going to love the story, no matter what color you are, but this is something that we've been trying to do, as you know, in our culture forever.
Yeah.
Now, I think not only are the creators, the fans, everybody is in sync. Everybody's like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, because normally, just like any other comic book, a lot of people are always paying attention to the writing team. And they're always like, okay, who do you got writing the comic? But it's not even just that. It's the artists that are basically involved, the editors that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody is somebody that's putting this together.
Yeah, yeah. My thing going forward on this was, if I was to do this, I had one mandate. And people got sick of me saying it, but they can tell you, whether they like hearing it or not, I was saying it. If you on this project, you're only going to be the best writer. You're only going to be the best artist. You're only going to be the best colorist, cover artist. I'm getting the best on this. And, you know, some people may have took offense to it, but I still buy it. And I still stand by it. So I went out and we got Murderer's Row of talent. I mean, when I tell you the talent on this book, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, and even just the media push that was basically putting it out there. Like, I think I saw it on Popverse and everything before you even brought it to my attention.
I was truly surprised that it went as far as it did. So that just shows that not only just within the Black comic culture, that indie comics in general is looking for something.
Yeah.
So, and I think we have the formula that everyone, no matter what color or creed you are, you're going to enjoy this, because it's a story first. It's story about family, unity, and everything that we all go through and everything we all yearn for in one story that everybody will resonate with. So I'm sure that everybody's going to love it.
Man, and you got them all fighting one singular villain.
Possibly. Yeah, there's a new bad character we got. Absalom, and Absalom is—he's shaping up to be something. He's shaping up to be something. He's shaping up to be a force in his own right. So basically, the story surrounds a family, and there's some things that happen to this family that bring forth Absalom, and Absalom plans. And in order for this family to basically, the family has to fight for themselves and the universe at the same time. So without giving too much away, we're going to leave it there.
Oh, man. Now, if you can you explain how you ended up getting Joseph Illich involved?
Actually, Joe and I go back to when I started Advent. When I started Advent back in 2009, I had reached out to some big hitters. I had gotten Andy Smith and Bart Sears to do the first cover of my very first book, Pandemonium Evil Incarnate. And I had been talking behind the scenes, getting advice from a couple of people affiliated with Milestone, Michael Davis, Mr. Christopher Priest. I would email him and he would be giving me little tidbits and things to do and how to put things together. So I had had through that avenue had cooked up with Joe and Crisscross, and it was supposed to be Joe as the editor at Advent and Crisscross as the art director. But to be honest, and just speaking totally, and I ain't ashamed to say it now, my pockets couldn't afford them brothers, man. Couldn't afford them. So flash forward 15 years later, I'm doing just a tiny bit better. I reached out. I was like, I know who the editor's got to be. It's got to be Joe. Got to be Joe. Reached out to Joe, and he heard the idea, and he was like, oh, I'm down. I'm down. Also reached out to Crisscross, too, and Crisscross is part of it, too. So I wasn't able to work with them on my very first project like I wanted to, but now on something even bigger, it's here. I'm working with them.
So am I to suspect that there was like this mass Zoom call meeting amongst 40 people?
No,
33 publishers?
Do you want to know how it happened? I didn't even have nothing to do with it. I have an Advent Comics TikTok channel, and on that channel, there was one of the guys from a group called the Black Comic Lords.
So
he was talking about how Water Independence was the biggest black crossover at the time, you know, blah blah blah. And he was like, he tagged myself and I think Danny Quick's Fourth Wall Productions, Lonzo Starr's Concrete Comics, Godhood. He tagged like six of us and was like, we need today's black publishers to get together and do something like this. So when I saw it, I was like, like, I wonder what everybody, would they be willing to do something like that? So I went to Facebook and I put like a little mass call out August 31st of this year. I was like, hey, you know, here's the video from TikTok. They asking what we do something like this. What do y'all think? Y'all think that we as publishers could get together and do something like this? You think the fans will want to see it? You think the coach is ready for it? And it was a resounding yes. It was a resounding yes. So at first I wasn't going to, I was just going to be a participant. Yeah. But Dave Ryan, who did or is doing Water Independence, and a few other people were like, you know, you got to be the one to lead this charge. You're doing Cosmos, mm-hmm. which is basically the same thing. They was like, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll see. And then, you know, talking to some people behind the scenes, they were like, you got to do it, bro. Go ahead and do it. So I was like, bet, let's go.
That's what's happening, man. Now, what do you think the inclusion of your characters, how do you feel that shapes the book? Like, say, you're going to insert your characters into this book as well.
Only one, and actually two. And I only inserted two characters because one of the writers was like, you got to let me use this particular character. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no problem, okay. But no, I primarily wanted to stay, the focus not be on me.
Okay.
So there won't be a lot of Advent characters. You're going to see characters from all over the Black comics industry. So you may see one of my characters here or there, or one of those two characters here or there, but they won't be the focus. By no means will they be the focus of the story. The brand new characters that were created for this title, the family, the McCauley family, Absalom, and then the heroes from the other comic book publishers, they're going to be stars.
Got you. So is there any particular characters from other indie comic publishers that you're looking forward to seeing? Is there any that
Oh, I can tell you everything. It's not a secret anymore because once the press, we just had to keep things quiet. We had a big NDA and we were moving a secret only until a certain point. But now that the press releases out, I can tell you whatever you want to know about the project without giving away most of the story.
Absolutely.
Right. There are a lot of characters who I'm participating or that I'm interested in seeing participating. Like I said, you got Fourth Wall Productions, Ace Blade. You got Amara Entertainment's Purge. You got Urban Style Comics, Dreadlocks. You have Midnight Tiger from CEX, Ray Height. You got Lonzo Starr's Acolyte from Concrete. You got Spirit Destiny from Dorfies Jean. It's just so many. It's over 40 companies, and the name, like I said, the names of these characters: Keith Cross's Mercy character, It's just so many, bro. It's so many. And it, everybody has their own different style and genre and how they weave into the story. It's impressive. It's impressive.
Oh, man. This... Yeah.
And, now... and just to let you know, there are a few characters that you're going to be like, how did they get those characters too? So just to let you know, you're going to see some surprises in the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. So when we're talking about like basically when we're talking about describing the Black indie scene, when it comes to the meet and greets that we see at these Comic Cons, would you definitely say nowadays it's almost more like a family reunion because we talk so much online?
Possibly, but I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I had stopped doing cons when COVID came. Okay. So my first two, I was supposed to do Baltimore Con last year or back in October.
But you're based in Maryland, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right outside of Baltimore, but my aunt passed away. And it was the
sorry to hear week. That.
It happened. So happened the same weekend as Baltimore Comic Con. So I'm a big family guy. So family always first for me. Mm-hmm. So I had to bow out. So this, my first two cons coming back in about 4 years is going to be this year.
Okay.
I'm going to do BlurCon, and I'm going to do Greg Burnham's Atlantic Comic Con. So those are the first two. And hopefully that same feel like a family reunion is still there.
Yeah, because BlurCon, of course, happens in the summer. And if I remember correctly, I think y'all were talking about trying to release this on Juneteenth.
We are. There's going to be a big Kickstarter on Juneteenth. And there I'll be able to premiere some of the covers from the fantastic cover artists we got. Sean Hill is doing part of the interior. So you're going to be seeing some, hopefully, fully finished pages from Sean Hill and some of the other interior artists we have. Man, the lineup on this book is crazy. Writer-wise, we have Brandon Thomas of Excellence Horizon. We got Rodney Barnes of Killadelphia fame. We have Greg Burnham, who's done some amazing stuff on his own.
It is.
We got his brother in crime, Marcus DeVisual, doing covers. Mm-hmm. We got Kanan White. We got Bobby Lex, Sean Hill. We got a few people I can't say right now. Okay. But
I saw Brian Lambert's name out there.
Brian Lambert is one of the editors. He's participating with Justice in Wingless Comics. Second Sight's participating.
Yeah.
Every Bradley Golden, Vince White and the Powerverse. We have so many different people that's participating. It's crazy. And on some of the covers, we got Chris Cross, Chuck Patton. We got Eric Battle and Stephen Harris. It's just so many power hitters on this roster, man. I'm telling you, it's a true murderer's row.
Yeah, because this seems like overwhelming at times. It's like, how is this all going to just formulate?
Oh, it's coming together, man. We just got the writers going on the story. So the writers are all writing the story out. Sean Hill has started the first chapter of the book. He's drawing Brandon Thomas's opening chapter. So okay. He's well into drawing that. So it's coming along, man. You know, as it gets closer and closer, and I'm actually seeing tangible stuff coming back.
Okay.
The sketches or, you know, the covers. It's like, we really about to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm getting nervous. I mean, and I used to run in the fires as a firefighter for 27 years. So nothing really makes me nervous. But mm-hmm. This is actually getting a little butterflies. I'm like, man, we're going to do this. All right, we finally going to do this.
Now, you got 40 publishers uniting against this cosmic threat, just binding together as this cohesive unit, almost as like a call to action. It's almost like pretty much whatever's happening in the book is what happened in real life. If you putting out that Facebook post, it's almost like a call to action. Be like, okay, people don't think that we all going to click up. Right. What we going to do?
We going to show them because we clicking up in this book for real. We for real. And there were some people who normally don't do projects like this, whose work was just so amazing. And I feel bad because I wanted to open it up to everybody, but I had a personal goal of time of when I wanted this book to be released. Yeah. So the people who didn't see the original Facebook post came months later, was like, hey, I want to be a part of this. But we had already started moving and writing, and we already had stuff in motion, so I couldn't add them to the project. So that part I really feel bad about. But there were people who I had to get on this project, like Andre Batts and Roosevelt Pitt, and my man, our man Tass from
Elevated
Twitter. Yeah.
Yep.
And people are going to see these different characters and see what everybody's bringing to the table, because we all have our own little niches. We have our own little fan bases. But to see these characters like Dreadlocks and Leaders of the Free World working together, it's going to be a dream come true. And I hope everybody gets as excited as I'm about this project.
Now, when you're talking about like how this is, of course, being made into a graphic novel, is it almost like built to be a trade paperback already done?
Oh, it's going to be one and done. So you're going to be able to have a trade paperback. You're going to be able to have a hardcover. You're going to be able to have all that. Like I said, we are going to hit so many goals and milestones with this project. People are going to be like, man, y'all jokers ain't for real. Y'all coming with like that. So all of us together, we are focused. It's a singular vision, and it's cool to see that we all want to do something good for the fans that we think you all will enjoy. And actually, I know you're going to enjoy it, because this isn't like a regular story. This is something that, when I tell you, it hasn't been done before, and when you read it, you're going to be like, wow, these jokers, they came with it.
Right.
You know, what we're trying to do.
That's what's happening, man. Now we're talking about Juneteenth, of course, the Kickstarter going to be dropping. So when do you expect for everybody to get this in their hands once that Kickstarter is eventually done?
Hopefully by the time we go to Kickstarter, we'll be well into the art. So I want to say at the very latest, barring any unforeseen things, January will have it in their hands. Okay. Now this is a massive undertaking now, like I said. We got 40 publishers. There are about 100 creators all in this project. So, and a lot of them work for Marvel, DC, and some of the other big boys. So we're working around everybody's schedule and trying to make it all work. That's why timing was so crucial. I couldn't just keep adding people, because that adjusts the schedule and that throws things off. So in order for me to get it to everybody by the January date that I have in mind, I had to keep rolling. So, but you never know if things pop off and fans like it and other publishers want to do something like this again, and they want to lead the charge, maybe we'll do a second one. Maybe we can get Concrete or Godhood to lead the way with the second one, and then we'll just lend our characters to them.
You know what? That might be a thing. If you got the opportunity to lend it to another publisher, and they'll do the collab on there.
I would definitely be down with it. They can have whatever they want, and I'd help out. But like I said, that just spirit of collaboration. It ain't just an avid project. It would be everybody. Everybody will take turns just doing a collaboration. Maybe we did it every year. A different publisher would do it. That would be fly. But now, I don't know. It just depends what the fans think. Like something.
And even in the act of just basically like passing that on and everything like that, it's always difficult to be the first. So how was this taking the toll on you, man? You okay?
Thank you for asking. No joke. Thank you for asking that question, because people don't ask that question. But yes, I'm a type where, you know, like I said, I take it on the chin. I'm built for it. If not me, then who? Mm-hmm. But there are some struggles in doing something like this.
Yeah.
Because my wife, she's like, look here, I ain't seen you go through half of what you've gone through on just this project alone in the 15 years you've been working on Advent, or any of the 27 plus years you worked in the fire department. She was like, you going through it. So I'm like, yeah, it is. But anything significant like this, anything that you believe in passionately, you got to put some skin in the game. You got to put some pain into it. And that's my pain, and that's my skin in the game. So I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like I said, I'm here. I'm going to see this through to the end. And hopefully when it's all said and done, Everybody will see it and they'll enjoy it. And then it will make it worth it for me. That'll make it worth it for me. And then another thing, then this is my personal thing. I want to dispel the myth that we can't work together.
This is true.
That's always been a big thing to me. And the first time I did a crossover, it fell apart for those reasons about 12 years ago now. This, for me, is personal. I want to see us all win and everybody say, okay, I guess they can do it.
Right.
So to me, that's winning. To me, that's the goal.
Enough said. Well, Tony, I appreciate you doing this with me.
Brother, thank you.
Yeah, I look forward to the project.
No problem.
You know what I'm saying? There's so much that basically that's put into this. And I know that the hard work's going to pay off.
I hope so, because we got a hefty goal we're going to try to meet. So I hope everybody will come out and support. And we're going to try to give you all kinds of things that will make it worth it or make it worth you supporting the project. And, you know, we just ask people show up and just see what we're doing and support us if they can.
Absolutely, man. So definitely, definitely thank you for being here. Thank
you for talking to me. Anytime. You say the word, you got me. Maybe we can arrange some of the bigger names than me to appear on your show before the kickstart.
You the one putting this together. Ain't nobody bigger than you right now.
No. I'm all potatoes compared to the people on this project. Trust and believe.
I'm always open to work that out.
Well, cool. All right, thank you. We might have to do an exclusive for you. We might have to get some names for you on this one.
I appreciate that. Well,
no, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for
all the best. Abysmal Engine, of course, is going to drop on Juneteenth.
Epiphany
Engine. I'm sorry. Epiphany Engine. I said that wrong. Epiphany Engine, of course, is going to drop on Juneteenth in June. Hopefully, we get this by January. If not, shoot, Black History Month don't sound so bad either.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm pushing for well before that, but wouldn't that be something for?
That'd be something too.
Hey, I never thought about
Juneteenth.
Yeah,
everybody get in there. He's on Black History Month.
Right.
You never know.
But no, hopefully everybody will have it before that.
Absolutely. So, for all of us here at the Facts Project, Tony Cottrell for Advent Comics, thank you for doing this again with me. This was excellent. For all of us here, please go out and get that. And we are out.